Blog Talk Radio.
There are fools, they go bald, and then I, they can get you, but such things your average man cannot perceive. It's paranormal, esoteric,
electromagnetic.
The good, the bad, the sad, behind the veil. So many stories of strange happenings.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Can a dead man, after all, tell his tale?
Angels and demons, ghosts and goblins and the like.
To a distant life for all little green men. Apparitions, superstitions,
contact from the other side.
Vicious spirits stirring in the wind. And they are there on the left, and they're there on the right. They are there where you are, but they're just out of sight. They creep and they crawl and they turn off the light.
I imagine
world, right under your nose. All that is there, oh God only knows. It can give you a chill from your head to your toes. It's quite striking, but that is nothing from a sword. What's to be in your force? To cast the shadow from the light,
and all the things that go wrong in the night.
So put your crown upon your heart. Don't be afraid of the dark, and don't get carried away by your fright. And the things that go bump in the night.
Things that go bump in the night. Things that go bump in the night. Things that go bump in the night. Things that go bump in the night.
Every time I'm in the
sky. Don't let them get you, no. 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 Don't let them give you a fright.
Go bump in the night. They can get you, but only if you give them that authority. And they are there on the left, and they're there on the right. They are there where you are, but they're just out of sight. They creep and they crawl and they turn off the lights.
I imagine
an invisible world right under your nose. All that is there, oh God only knows. It can give you a chill from your head to your toes. It's quite frightening, but that is nothing so much more. What superior force?
They cast the shadow from the light, and all the things that go wrong tonight.
So put your crown upon your heart. Don't be afraid of the dark, and don't get carried away by your fright. And the things that go bump in the night.
Welcome to Team of Voices presentation.
Scrobitch Television.
There we go. Welcome to Team of Voices presentation of Off the Rack, and I'm your host, Rack and Tour. And that was from my favorite rabbit hole on the internet, YouTube. It was written for the Scooby-Doo live movie, I believe.
That was the All-Stars. This is Tommy Space and the Alchemists and their little band playing clubs all over California. I don't even know if they have an album because there's really very little information on them. I know that this was it came out sometime in or prior to 2013. And apparently they have a lot of freaky music. So feel free to check them out. And that's Tommy Space, S-A-S-E, which is just hard to look at for somebody like me who's like a grandma. Honestly, that's just not okay. It's Tommy Space and the Alchemists. And we have a fully lit up board.
Well, let's start getting people on. And if you like that song, check it out. It's on YouTube under Things That Go Bump in the Night. And there's different versions of it, and people covered it. And I thought it was particularly fabulous for tonight.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So I will go down the list for you. Sky, say hello, hello.
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 Trick or treat.
Hello.
Okay, it's going to be a free-for-all because I'm just going to run down the list of names and y'all can say hi. So we have, I believe that's you, Gress, yes?
Yes, that's me.
Awesome. Hello, hello. And we have
hello,
Wayne.
Hello, hello.
Did you say Gress?
And it's Gress, yes, as in Aggressman, Aggressman.
Hey, Gressman, what's going on, man?
And Hatter.
Not much, man.
Hold on a second. And I believe that's Dave, yes?
Yes, that's me.
Look at me knowing everybody's everything. I'm so excited. Okay, back to you.
I love it.
Now that we've all got our virtual name kicked.
Raconteur, I know it's not storyboards, but you have my full permission to press the Dave button if you so wish.
There's a Dave button?
Well, good. Pretty,
just
yes.
Put in
Dave. Yeah, Pretty Bird's got the studio. She doesn't know about your buttons, but it's a simple concept. She's got trigger words that she's got sound clips that relate to them. So
there's a lot of songs.
Just put in Sky FX and you'll find it. And this, or just write Dave.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Why?
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we got a lot of that, you know. But it's fun.
It is. Happy Halloween.
Trick or treat, everybody. Yeah. So tonight we're just, you know, generalizing, having a monster mash, a monster party. You know, the things that go bump in the night, anything that people have written legends about, you know, dress themselves up as for Halloween, or you know, found themselves in the laboratory performing illicit operations. Yeah, you know, it takes you a lot of different places, and you know, those of us that have kids and went through the dress ups and the costumes and everything else, that's always fun. That's a horror in itself. As a matter of fact, I want to say, you know, not being able to find the information myself and having people help me find the information, even just finding information on that opening song was a horror. So, everything is on topic tonight. Does anybody have an early bedtime that they need to get on and off the air? We will get you read first. Guys,
I've got an hour to go.
I'm sorry. Was that Wayne?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I got an hour. I got an hour. Then I got to go see somebody.
Well, I will put you up on the board then.
Yeah, I have fun.
Now, do you have
it?
Wayne's got somebody to kill.
No, it's Ocean Woods.
Who else has to go?
Me, Dave Prophet.
Okay, so I'll put you on after Wayne over. Is that all right?
Okay, that's fine, sure.
Awesome, 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 awesome. So,
all right, Wayne, you got to read
this. Yeah, I'm going to have to read it tonight because I didn't mean the sound crowd. And are you ready?
Yes, sir.
I don't know if we're ever ready. Go ahead, Wayne.
Listen, this is about heavy, about, okay, about witches. It's a wizard, weird witch. It's a narration, if you didn't know. It goes like this. Wicked witch wonder why wizard wins. Wizard wishes win wanting winning ways. Witch is wrath, only wounded with the warrior. Wizard with walls and windows wobbles. Wise wizard whistles while women whittle wood. With wizard whispering whammy words wickedly. Wicking white winged whisper wanted whiskey. Weird ruckle wage war when weather weakens. Wayne was wicked witch's wedding worker. Wayne wanted witches with wiggly waist. Wicked witch wouldn't work for one of them. Wayne whispered witch with wide wooden wrench. Witch whipped Wiley when Wayne wed one wild woman. Warlock wore weapons weakened Wayne's will. Which Wade will Warlock without wondering why? Wayne went west of one of worse walls.
Damn you, Wayne. Oh, with the tongue twisters and alliteration. I love it. You know, you got a way about you, and I'm sure you would have jazzed it up a little bit with some background music and whatnot. But there's nothing like listening to you get into it and read it live, because I can hear you smiling as you're going along, and fighting the tongue twisters that aren't, you know, apparently aren't really so much tongue twisters. You know, you just, you know, spill that out there. You did a great job reading that.
Well, thank you.
Let me get you a couple of comments. Let's see. But you said we got Gress. What'd you think of that piece?
I was trying to do an all word, all W, like reply, but I'm messing up. So, wow, what word was Gress Riley? Wayne.
He's got to say wonderful, Wayne.
I loved it, man. I can't believe you got through without like messing up, like in the middle of that. You did a great job, man.
I can't believe it either.
I can't believe it.
Awesome piece, Wayne. What'd you think, Sky?
Oh my gosh, there were. I am so glad that he didn't need a reader, because I think we all would have messed that up. I can't even believe how well you did that. I mean, that's really fun, and I love playing with alliteration. And as fun as they are, doing pieces like this where they're, like, wildly on the far end of, you know, the spectrum, you know, when you it's good practice, because when you get down to writing something else, you're like, oh, yeah, you pull stuff over, and I don't know, it's just really fun, and it's fun to read, and it's like tongue twisters, and Wayne, you do a really good job with it, and always bringing the humor, too, and I think you got, like, everything in there, so.
Yeah.
Very well done.
Thank you very much, Iska.
Thank you.
Let's see, we got Pretty Bird.
Yes. Well, okay. So my comments are, today's Tuesday. However, wise warlock whistles while women whittled wood is all I'm going to say. And then Wayne whipped witch with wide wooden wrench. Oh, did you now? I have one poem that is about a quarter the size of this poem that has all M's. And it is really hard. I've ran a few contests that just have no prepositions at all. And that kind of really limits how, what you can do poetically. So to have every single word start with W, have like barely any prepositions and no articles, it's just like, how the hell does it work? And it works because it's Wayne, is all I'm going to say. This is just fabulous.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Dave, before you read, you got the next comment.
Yo, Dave.
David Loco.
Are you on mute?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was muted. Anyway, what I was saying to the mute button was Wayne's the only one that I know of that could pull this off as slickly as he has here. I couldn't do this, you know. I mean, my vocabulary runs all over the page, and so I like this. I thought it was funny. It made me laugh when Wayne was reading it. And I'm glad I didn't have to read it, because I would have been tongue-tied. So I have to say, this is really, really fun, Wayne, and you did a great job on it.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Did you have something to say, Hatter?
Hatter dropped. So I'm sure he'll be calling back in a little bit.
All right, Dave. That puts you up next.
Okay. Well, when I found out that you were doing a monster show, that really turned on some lights for me. And so I have a series that I do on the alien from the Alien, and he's a, okay. I guess his name is Xenomorph. Anyway, the name of this poem is Xenomorph Iterum, and that means it's Latin for again, I guess. Anyway, it goes, sounds like this. Demon child, deadly fungi of LV-426, host parasitic gene splicer, replication in snapshots from its former host, most likely dead, takes on some characteristics from that union, lumen from the shadows, countenance and silvers, shines and light greens of alien biology, unnatural in its movements, terrible in its exaggerations, bears no kinship to humans, harpoon-tipped tail, sawtooth vertebral flexions, slashing this way and that, whispering death whooshes, punishes the air, it caresses, switchblade knife articulation, razor blade angular momentum, stroboscopic time signatures illuminate synchronized ambulatory replication, natural and unnatural, confusing to beings blessed in natural grace, test tube engineered symmetry, blasphemous gene tampering, unnatural in every aspect within the universe, obscene in its stature, H.R. Geiger's picture in his airbrushed locket. It is the nightmare Mad Hatter, misshapen hammerhead, blind melon exaggeration, listens to micro changes in air density, organ, pipe organs rising from its back, plays no melody we could recognize. Grinning death from its transparent dripping incisor shows you its reciprocating tooth-tipped tongue, nothing cute or cuddly, nothing soft nor round. Its shadow runs away, frightened of its host. Its photonless shades fleeting in odd angles, leaving a vacuous void where God's light used to be. Will kill you just for sport. Xenomorph. Inheritance bears no grace from its former host. Silicon-based morphology does not bear the touch of carbon-based life. Its lifespan runs down in egg timer signatures dissolving into pH pools in extreme shades of deep scarlet litmus paper. As its acidic blood finally unwinds into neutrality, just a pool of silicon tampering, whose tolerances the dark mother will no longer allow. Her accelerated kiss of entropy sweeps it from a reckless order into chaotic finality, plays out the alien elegy to an empty auditorium, for it shall never be missed, swept away as if it had never existed. End poem.
See, this is what I love about poetry, that you went full-on nerd. It's different degrees of the way, you know, people take their perspectives, or what Sky Tent would call, I guess, a character, right? You know, I enjoy things like this, and there's people that'll be like, you know, they'll get bored or whatever, but, you know, that to me is the beauty of it. You know, you've got your audience, and you're not trying to play to who you think wants to hear it. You're just right out, just putting it out there, and you know, there's a certain amount of controversy when you talk about gene splicing and things like that. And you mentioned blasphemy in it, so you've got that. I really enjoy when people do things like this. You know, whether it's a struggle for the words or not. You know, so if I have to look up a word, I got to look up a word. But you know, I really really liked it. You know, the whole scenario, the whole, and of course you got to work in the Dark Mother too. So there's that,
yeah.
You know, and anyone that follows Dave knows the Dark Mother. this is absolutely outstanding and perfect for tonight. You know, and just don't let Donald Trump know about, or Donald Biden know about the illegal aliens, because that's a different kind, an alien of a whole different, you know, wall that we can't push him behind. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Let me get a comment from So that was Dave. So I got to start because Gress, I don't know why Gress, I confuse you with Dave, but the two of you in my brain are the same person. So Gress, can you tell me to Dave?
Yeah, I love the whole series on aliens, and one of the things the movies makes you think is like Prometheus, how it was tied into the possibility
yeah.
that we are here only as food for this other worlds, you know, just to have something to feed their beasts with, you know, and
mm-hmm.
it's amazing the way that you did that. And, I thought, you know, but I do have a cat, so I can't win. So I have a black cat, not a striped orange cat, but I have a black cat, and I think he would win. But I love how you put that together, and it's awesome. I love stuff like this. It's a science fiction, right, kind of. But also, you know, science fiction comes from our reality, that there are strange things
yeah.
out there we don't know about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if
yeah.
it knows about them. Did you hear about that worm that they got from, like, the permafrost? It's, like, over 300,000 years old, and they brought it back to life.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And you're thinking, what? Don't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't,
yeah,
there's
a reason it's gone.
Like
yeah.
Yeah, I loved it, Dave. Good job, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
There was no warning label. They just like, you know. Oh, God.
Hat is back, by the way.
Hatter. You missed the piece by Dave Prophet. We're getting some comments now. Wayne, can you comment for Dave?
Sure. I don't know how good it'd be, but I can comment. Talking about tongue twister, you had several words in here I can't say by themselves. It's a complex novel with great details about space creatures I can't pronounce. I think that Thaden has a Inheritance bears no grace from its former host. I like that line there. It was a good line he had in the poem. And that's the one I could probably halfway say. It's great details, and you did a good job with this, and I enjoyed it all the way through. Good job there, Dave.
Thank you, Wayne.
You'd be welcome.
Yeah, it reminds me, of this, like you mentioned, the sci-fi. It reminds me of some of the writers that like to base their sci-fi on, you know, actual science. And I think that's what makes it interesting. And so I'll let Sky comment next, because I'm sure she'll elaborate on that.
Oh, actually, this is I'm often the one bringing fandom poems, and nobody has idea of the characters that I'm talking about. And they're like, "Well, it's a great story, but I don't really know the character." I'm in those shoes for one of the first times, Dave. I mean, I've watched the Alien movies, but the science in this is far beyond me. But I think I can follow it. You know, that's the cool part about it. Even though I don't know some of the concepts that you're speaking of, and I'm like, well, that must mean something. And as someone who writes a lot of fandom writes, I see them and I can catch them. Like, oh, that must have an alternative. I just don't know it. And the cool thing about that is that it's a really great story. And if I go back and you break it down, you could probably read more into it. And, you know, that's the kind of poetry you can chew on, which is and read over and over again and piece by piece and find things within it and take your time with. So it's really well done.
Thank you, Sky.
And Pretty Bird.
So, like, that's, like, the worst bedtime story ever, you know, because it's so creepy. It's, like, there, because it's wonderfully scientific, it's got that little hint of, like, emotional disconnect. So it's got that kind of just the facts, ma'am, kind of feel to it. And if you just listen to you read that, it's like all the creepy things. You know, like even if you never saw any of the movies, it's like all the creepy things. Like it's
yeah.
like all the little bits of nightmare. And so that is just absolutely perfect for today. How fabulous is that? And you know me, I love all the science-y stuff because we'll pretend I'm not a nerd, but I kind of am.
That's what I like about you, sweetie.
She's a nerd bird.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Yep.
Hatter, did you hear enough of it to comment, or?
No, I didn't.
All right, no worries.
Yeah.
All right. So we got everyone. So who do you want to throw under the bus next? did you bring us trick or treat, Sky?
She did.
I did, but I have someone that just woke up and went to the bathroom, and they're going to be making a little bit of noise, so it might not be the best time for me to read. Can I wait till she settles back down?
I mean, the nerve.
I know. The nerve. I know.
I know how you can go.
I'll have it up on the board, so, but he got to it before I did. So you, do you mind going after Hattergrass?
No, I don't mind. That's fine.
Oh, you're awesome. Thank you. Okay, Hatter, whenever you're ready.
Oh, okay. All part of being a kid. The event that scared me most was outside after dark. At the corner near the door, the neighbor's dog would bark. With arms full, my defenses down, this feeling of dread would overwhelm me. Why is it so far into the dark where no one can see? I don't hear about grumps never coming home. They know us kids are easily taken when outside alone. I don't think my mother loves me anymore. I tell her what's waiting just beyond the door. I always knew there was something hiding out just out of sight. But Mom, I would say, it's not safe out there at night. I think I heard a noise of waiting to kill all little boys. Send the girl, my big sister. Nobody wants to take her. Please, Mom, don't make me. It's dangerous, I'm sure. The count would start 1, 2. I would have no choice. Forced labor, child labor, too young to have a voice. Without a word, my dad would give. He'd hand me something so I might live. Take this, son. It will help you see. A flashlight my dad would hand me. Why do moms not know what to do, taking the trash out? She has no clue. Still the race back inside, not knowing where he hides, and the most courageous thing I ever did. I think it's all part of being a kid. I remember having it.
That's awesome, Hatter. I love that perspective. And you know, sometimes in horror stories, you got to listen to the kid. As absurd as it sounds, the kid's right. And something as simple as a flashlight solves the problem. You know, take my sister. Nobody wants her. Yeah. There's a little relatability in there, a little, you know, nudge. What's funny is, you know, you make it sound like moms don't know about taking out the trash, but, you know, they may yell to have other people take it out. That's because they're tired of taking it out. So, yeah, I think they know a little too well about taking out the trash.
it's just like that piece I wrote, Double Dog Dare. My older brother would go, my little brother can do that. What? Yeah, sure I can. He's like, someone's crap I would do.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it, but my little brother can do it.
Yeah, my little brother can do it.
Oh, you hide behind that image. Yeah, I love that.
Well, when I would get home, if I got hurt or something, or they would find out, my mom didn't understand, but my dad did. He'd just shake his head and go, you know.
Dave, you got any brothers like that, Dave? Did Dave drop?
Dave did drop. He said good night. My bad. I was talking to the mute button.
That's okay. What about you, Gress?
Hey, we used to have a big alleyway, and there's like garages along it, like on the back alleyway. So there's spots that nobody could see you. So I'm with Hatter, man. That was like, well, I was a little kid, like 6 years old, 7 years old. And now, if you told a kid to take the trash out now at 7 years old, they'd be like child labor laws against you. But they made kids do a lot more back in those days. I mean, I remember shoveling the sidewalk and doing all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was scary outside, especially this was on an Air Force base, base housing, and it was scary. It was like creaky noise, and you hear the jets going off in the distance, you know, and you're like, I don't want to go out there. Like Catter says, your mom says, get out there and take that trash out.
And that's where the trouble comes in. You told me to take the trash out. You didn't say nothing about putting a bag back in the can. That's where you get in trouble. You know,
always in the dark.
This involves putting the bag in the can. Wait.
It was a true fear. I remember. It was a true fear I had when I was little.
Yeah, you had to read this one. I've got to take out the garbage here in a minute. This is well written about the humor. Both mom and dad played a great part, and maybe we'll have to take it a journey next time. I've heard this much myself. I think this poem is simply wonderful, great rhyme and flow, and very entertaining and fun. Gotta love you. Good job.
Thanks, Ray.
They're pretty bird. I know you've got a couple of opinions about trash.
I have lots of opinions and lots of lazy-ass kids. I love them. But when you said, well, you didn't say anything about putting the bag back in there. That is my kids. Unfortunately. So they have all cycled out with their chores from, like, 6. Outside trash started at 8 because we have a really long driveway. And, you know, they tend to do it before bed. And so that's just torture. Those bags are heavy. There's a lot of us in this house. Oh, yeah, the raccoons and rats and all kinds of creepy, crawly things all up in the garbage. Yeah, no, nobody likes to take the garbage out. Nobody at all. But, they're very much so. Well, you said take it out. You didn't say until we had to go and be like, the act of garbage, the chore includes gathering all the garbage, you know, collecting it, tying it up, taking it out, putting it in the dumpster, coming back in, or, you know, making sure there's a clean bag in there. This also includes any trash that happens to be on the counter or anywhere that you pass on the floor. Pick it up, throw it away, no trash in the house. Because they will take a half-empty bag out of the kitchen garbage and call it done. I love this perspective. It is not an easy thing as an adult to go back and put into words those fears. Because, you know, when you're big, it's not the same. But on those nights, especially if there's a lot of trees and the wind's blowing and things are moving and things are cracking, and it could be very, very creepy, you know. But, yeah, as a mom, I never once gave my son a flashlight. None of them. Just want to go out there and get that done. The quicker you go, the quicker you'll get back, you know. I'm horrible. What can I say? I'm just so mean, you know, chores and all.
Oh, dark is a lot. You said take out the trash. You didn't say take it all out. Oh, Sky, can you comment to Hatter?
Yeah, I thought this was great. And, you know, I as someone who hangs out with a lot of kids, even before I worked with kids, I always hear, you hear adults tell kids, it's not a big deal. And whatever they say, oh, just get over it. It's just a piece of just ice cream that fell on the floor, get over it. Or it's just this fear. But I think people often forget as adults that is what they know. That is their scope of processing at that age, you know. To them, it is a really big deal. It is really scary. You know, those are their stepping stones to learn how to deal with the bigger stuff when they get older, hopefully, you know, hopefully it doesn't hit them young. And so I love this because it puts into perspective that how simple things that adults may take for granted, like just doing something, it can be a big thing. And really well done.
Yeah, I don't think that was my parents' plan. I don't think my parents were planning on helping me later in life.
Awesome. So,
Gress, you are on the board.
All right, let's see what we have here. This is called Who Are We?
late at night, and I wanted to take a shortcut. The only sounds were of the owl.
Hmm. Hmm. Hmm.
Piercing eyes blinking open and then shut. Hairs on my neck were raised, and I was mute. Why dare take this path at night, I wondered. I felt a cool breeze come upon me, and it was July. Chilling to the bone in the distance it thundered. A flash of light. Was it the lightning? Still, the why. It came to a point that I had to dodge the tree, cling to the ground so the branch would not hit. Corner of my eye saw ghosts drifting free. Running scared, I tripped over a root and quit. Where there was one before, there was three. Both ghosts became real, walking instead of hovering. Why are you here? Directing their eyes at me. This is where we were killed, lately discovering. I tried to talk, but the air came out, my body frozen. Finally, the words popped out. Taking a shortcut. Have you tread upon our bodies? You're chosen. Chosen? What the hell does that mean? But we have chosen to inhabit your body as ours. Hell fucking no! Running as fast as I could out, I tripped again and looking up, seeing only stars. I woke up in my own bed with only a doubt. Never will I eat sushi again before going to bed. Couldn't control my arm. What the hell is going on? Pain at first, then an order going on inside my head. Four souls in one body taking over, and I was gone. Staring in the mirror, I had no control of my voice. Smiling an evil grin saying, we made the right choice.
All right, then.
I am tickled.
Oh, go ahead.
You know, excuse me, from the very first wonderfully commanding late at night, it just automatically took my attention right to the words. Not that it was elsewhere, but it kept it right there. And it's okay, you're like the best kind of like story reader. Like, you need to like just be reading to children with all the voices all the time, because that's just fabulous. Okay, but first of all, wonderfully creepy, and loved the very well acted F-bomb sequence in there, and because that was just freaking hysterical. And if I wasn't on mute, I would have absolutely, you would have heard me just absolutely laughing out loud, because it caught me off guard. It was fabulous. And I was chuckling again at the never again with the stinking sushi, because, you know, sushi's a little iffy, you ain't wrong. So I absolutely loved that. And just when you think it was just going to be, you know, a bad case of raw fish, oh no, but it happened. So I really just, I enjoyed this from tip to tail, absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was definitely an awesome piece. I mean, I was getting ready to kind of rationalize it in my brain and play scientist or whatever. You're talking about the owls, and then it went off the rails for me, you know, and full, you know, horror mode and things that go bump in the night. Wonderfully told and unpredictable, you know, apartment dwelling now, you know, occupancy 4 or something like that. That's just, you know, one poltergeist isn't enough. One, you know, let's see how many people we could squeeze in here. that's a little unique, and that needs to be explored a little better, because if they get into a fight, man, oh my goodness, I guess bad sushi is a kind of a way to portray that too. Oh my goodness, I really enjoyed it though.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Wayne, what'd you think?
Well, like I said, this is a fabulous, great presentation, and it's a bit scary on the scary side. You did great with the flow and brought yourself to life in the poem. The sushi line was great to get the reader to focus on the poem, and this poem was dark, humorous, and very entertaining. I think it's great. I think you did a wonderful job with this, and I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Patrick, can you comment?
I was muted. Sorry. No, it's like waking up in a dream, still dreaming.
Yeah.
The thing is that, like, when you're a kid, your mom and dad always tell you don't take shortcuts. Don't take shortcuts.
Yeah, that was another thing that I had forgotten about. It was the lightning. I lived in the off of San Francisco Bay when we were kids. And the lightning was just, it would be like, especially at night. Slide it up. I mean, it's even spookier. Thinking of stuff.
Oh, what about you, Scott?
I really enjoyed it, and I was like, wasn't really expecting the hooting, like the live hooting, and I just thought you did it really well. And you paced yourself great. I mean, the theatrics in it was great. And the storytelling was engaging. I know, as someone who eats a lot of sushi, I don't know about this now. But I agree that the theatrics of it, I mean, and you could have wonderful theatrics, but without a good foundation and story, you have nothing. But you really paired well with them both. I really enjoyed that. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Excellent piece. Thank you. Okay. Let's see. We
have a caller.
No, we don't. Who's that on the phone? Trick or treat.
Trick or treat. How are y'all?
Gary.
Yes, sir, man. I was wondering if y'all recognize my voice. You just win the big pot money tonight. Soon as I get it.
All right.
Just real quick, did we get a comment from Wayne? Because I might have spaced out.
Yeah, I'll come in.
Okay. I'm telling you, my brain. Thanks. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Thank you. Okay. We got Gary. We're having a monster bash tonight. I think Scott read, Hatter read, Wayne read. Did you read?
I have to read.
I didn't get a chance to hear the last one. I bet it was good though.
Yeah, we have Angel needs a reader, and we're still waiting for Deb.
Okay. You want to?
But it's like 10 to 11, so we have plenty of time.
Okay. Awesome. Sky, do you feel like reading Angel before you go to bed?
Well, I just put her up on the board, like Sky, because we said that she was going to read before when the little one woke up. My bad. I can put Angel on first.
Oh, no. We're going to do Sky.
We said she gets to read next.
Yes.
I haven't read this in a while. So I brought you zombies because I didn't know what to bring. So this is something that I made up. At the beginning, I do want to just write a disclaimer because I don't like taking credit for my own, I mean, the words of mine, but the idea of the map with the galaxies, the cosmic infinity loop, I watched this Neverland miniseries. It's a British miniseries version. And they just did the science of Neverland, and they did this wonderful miniseries, and it was this beautiful concept. So I took that idea, and I put it into words, and then I created my own story that was because of that. So if you understood any of that, great. This is called The Never-Ending Walking Dead by Sky.com. In search of the Philosopher's Stone, an alchemist learned it was not an object, but a map of the stars, where the greatest peak of cosmic energy meets at the four corners of the universe. There hidden is a planet in the center of the cosmic infinity loop. Because this planet is at the furthest ends of the universe, it is the center of all the cosmic powers. Time stands still. This is where to find Neverland. It is only through the alchemist's glass orbs that act as portals one may travel between worlds. When the orb is struck, it tears a piece of that biosphere and brings it through the gateway. That is how Pan travels, and how many of his natives have come to live where time sleeps, where there are the enchantments of old, the free spirit city of fairies and mineral pools, gnomes and princesses with six elder brothers, and small old lady with a hooked nose. For eons, from Neverland plains to rainbow waters, the Neverpeak Mountains, there was life, till Pan unknowingly brought through the portal an apocalypse that unhinged all its green. There was a shadow plague that spread from Marooner's Rock to Mermaid Lagoon, spread further still to Cannibal Cove and to the Black Castle. A brush of undead walked among the maze of regrets, Crocodile Creek and Pixie Hollow. The only safe havens were now in the Spirit City Fairies and Hangman's Tree. There were a few survivors among the tribe of Wigworm, but they are lost somewhere in the carnage. Now in a world, giant zombie crocs, undead neverbirds, bloodthirsty pirates, and mermaid folk. In a world of dark neverbeasts, Pan, Tink, Wendy Darling, and the Lost Boys must find those few who might have survived. And this is obviously something that's not finished. The end.
Oh, love. That's beautiful. I love that you took the concept and explained it based on, you know, some, you know, science, whether you want to call it junk science or whatever. You know, you gave us a reason to believe it, and kind of a jumping off point, and really twisted it into a dark, like, you know, well, you know, it sounds lovely, you know. Disney wants you to buy popcorn, but, you know. Guy's gonna make you choke on that popcorn. That was fantastic. The darkness that you wove into it too. You know, and all the landmarks. You know, I don't know how well, you know, people might remember the story or not, but, you know, I had flashes of, you know, Hangman's Tree, the places where they would hide, and the merfolk and the pirates and all those things that you brought in. You know, you twisted that story beautifully. You know, it's fandom, fan fiction. I mean, however you want to label it, I mean, on its own, it's a fantastic story. The fact that it was inspired by other stories is still, you know, a beautiful. You wove a lovely quilt, and I pulled it up and got nice and warm and comfy underneath it, and I'm gonna twitch in my sleep now. Oh my goodness!
Thank you.
I enjoyed it very much, Sky. I thought you did a fantastic job with that.
Thank you.
Gus, what'd you think?
I thought it was like kind of like a cosmic tale where some hints of the fairy tales and then the sci-fi, and then it brings you all in those worlds, and then it's a place of darkness that kind of eats at your fears, like these things are traveling zombies that are going to eat your brains or something. It's kind of interesting, and I think you got a very good story there to expound on. I thought it was very well done. Good job.
Thank you.
Tata, can you comment for Sky?
Yeah, and
I'm probably a stupid question, but all this is true to fact. All the names, like the Neverland Plains, Rainbow Waters, and Never Peak Mountain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All those are true.
Yeah, she's awesome.
And you call him Pan. Hmm. He's the Pan man. Very good.
Yeah.
I'm always impressed. Sky's good. Always.
Thank you, Heather.
Wayne, what'd you think?
Going on?
Wayne had to go. He was hoping to make it back before the end of the show, but he had a meeting.
Oh, no. He's discussing barbecue sauce with little children. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so now I just threw myself off. We got Wayne. We got Scott said the story. Gary, what'd you think of Sky's tale?
Man, I love her writing. Her writing is unbelievable poetry, man. It's so imaginative, and the way that she puts it all together is just unbelievable, hands down every time. And I love the fantasy mixed with the sci-fi and the darkness. You know, I think the last time that was put together so good was that movie Aliens, you know. It was awesome. I just closed my eyes and listened to you, and my middle daughter would love it because she loves that kind of stuff, man. I thought of her when I heard it, and anytime something that somebody wrote makes you feel a way, any kind of good way, is unbelievable, you know, and I thought it was great. I love the mix of all of that together. It was right on point for Halloween. Great read and great write.
Thank you.
That's pretty bird.
Oh, Sky, with all the things, all the details of all the things, and that gentle voice, which makes it almost seem like a proper Neverland, but not, because you're a little diabolical and sinister and fabulous. So, you know, serves Pan right bringing nonsense in there, since all he does is steal children in their sleep, but whatever. Because, you know, I'm just saying, the only person fighting for them kids, because Captain Hook only fights Peter Pan, the thief of children. He does not hurt the Lost Boys. So, yeah, he's a hero. It's fine. I'm not evil.
I bet he gets them to take out their garbage, though.
Historically speaking, fairies are evil little freaking nymphs, and, you know, so Tinkerbell is not normal, but, you know, she does have an attitude, even in the regular movie, and so it wouldn't surprise me if Pan just does her bidding, so, that, you know, he can, you know, she can have all the things that they're not supposed to have. I'm just saying, the Captain Hook is a good guy. It's fine. I love the zombies. I do. I love how it is, you know, the never-ending land of the undead, because that is freaking fabulous. All the things. And then they have to go and find survivors. It's zombie land. I don't think you can find any gosh darn thing. I mean, they do have to eat the brains, so maybe they leave some things alive. Who the heck knows? But that is awesome. And the way you read it, it's like it's supposed to be all sweetness. And it is not. And that is fabulous. I am again tickled.
And she backed it up with science.
So, yeah, not my science. So I thought that was really cool. But, I mean, it is. I did interpret it in my own words. But I just thought that miniseries was so cool. But I was just picturing, like, because I don't usually write I wrote this for the storyboards, special editions, and I don't always write for my own shows. I mean, I should, but I just don't. But I did for this one because I really wanted to. And I don't know if you guys know Resident Evil, but you know the Resident Evil dogs when they become like zombie dogs. I was just picturing like huge crocodiles, but like that. That's what I first envisioned when I went to go write this poem, because I was like, oh my god, just imagine a Neverland with like Resident
undead
Evil type of
yeah.
undead creatures, right, just swarming around, and like how cool would those creatures be from that fantasy realm, but like a darker version. And then I don't know, I just think it would be really cool. I mean, I'm I wouldn't want to be there, but it would be really cool to watch or read about.
Well, I'm still afraid of the crocodiles in Florida, so you're good.
I know, like, crocodiles aren't bad enough. Now I got to think about giant crocodiles that are undead.
Well, if you can go jogging and get taken by a crocodile after he bit you the day before. What was that?
Alligator.
It was a gate? Alligator?
Well,
see,
it's Florida, I'm just saying.
I want to say I blame the crocodiles more than the alligators, but okay.
Well, it's the alligators to take over the sewers in Brooklyn, so there's that.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I can't live in warm places.
Movie.
Oh, who was stupid enough to flush the pets?
You know people are lazy, right?
Now we're back to Hatter's taking out the trash again. Hatter?
OMG. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so Sky, I put Angel on the board. And I know that you just read, but I was going to read after you because that will bring us up to all of the scary poems, and we can just put Gary up. So do you want to read her?
Yeah, I can do that.
Thank you, ma'am.
You are awesome.
You're
welcome. Let's see how this is. Where demons roam, I have the angel. The moon is dark and clouds are gray. Above the house, right by the Black Sea, souls rise from the gates of hell, beckoning me to enter. The air blows cold across the trees, leaving behind a howling sound. Chills are running through my soul, making my heart pound in terror. Opening the dusty gates, I search my surroundings, feeling as though there are eyes watching my every move. I am drawn to the broken door, as if there are unseen beings calling out to me. Enter in. Webs are scattered everywhere, and I feel a deep foreboding of danger. I feel the presence of many lost souls. I feel as if they're daring me to make a move. Fearfully, I ask, is anyone here? Nothing is heard but the echoing sound of my own voice, fading away with tremor and fear. A crucifix hangs upside down on a far wall, and a broken glass lies on the floor. I am overcome with more fear than I have ever known. Unspeakable evil resides in this house. This is what my rational mind speaks to me, as if I feel its evil clutches try to tear into my being. I listen to my common sense and flee the demons who reside here, leaving them to infect their evil on another. This house still exists on top of that hill, but no one dares to enter in the realm where demons roam. End quote.
Wow. That fear of the unknown and bringing in I enjoy the way she did that. Lovely storytelling and darkness and I keep going back to the unknown aspect of it because that's what tends to tickle me, because your mind, I guess, tends to fill in those blanks, and we're our own worst demons,
you know,
I guess.
The difference between a nightmare and a dream. You know the difference between a nightmare and a dream?
What's that?
A crucifix hanging upside down. There you go.
Oh,
I don't know where you were going to go with that, Hatter, but I wasn't expecting that. That was funny.
It just depends on who your decorator is. Gress, what'd you think?
Oh, Gress had to go because he had to get up early. I'm sorry.
That's all right. This is so it's me, Hatter, and the ladies. Okay. Well, Hatter, did you want to comment further on this piece?
Oh, it was very good. The crucifix got me hanged upside down. That's a very strong symbolism of evil. She did a good job. It reminded me of The Exorcist.
Oh, I want to see the new rendition of that.
What was that?
They're coming out with another Exorcist movie. It's like, I don't know if it's out now or whatever. But it looks really, really good, and I want to, like, take all my kids because hopefully it doesn't suck. I mean, because, you know, if it's as good as the commercials look, which is unlikely, then I need them to see that on the big screen.
Can you comment for Angel Pretty Bird?
I can. I have a lot of words. Are you ready for my sideways rant on things? Okay, here it goes. Okay, first of all, I love that she wrote to this creepy picture, and I, every time she writes, okay, she can write anything, but for me, she's just so sweet and just so kind, and she's got all this wonderful, romantic, wistful, loving things. So whenever she writes dark or sensual or anything that is not encompassed in all of those warm feels, it always tickles me, surprises me a little bit because it's enthralling, you know? And so I absolutely appreciate that. I love that fear. I love that she empowered herself to escape before she took the clutches, dragged her through the gates of hell, because that's not usually how these things go. So I really love all of that. I love that she paints the picture of the sounds and the chills and the broken glass and the dusty gates and all of that. So it is absolutely Halloween, absolutely monsters. Now here is where my brain took me, because I apparently am broken. This sounds like you finally escaped from the house you grew up in, and there you are, back in the pit of night, having to go through there and deal with whoever or whatever is left in there, even if it's an empty house and it's just those memories that pull you back to where you were and all those god-awful things in a god-awful childhood. And she got the hell out of there, because that is what that felt like to me. All those things, gates of hell, all of it just reminded me of a little kid that, you know, that grew up and has to go back. It was very Stephen King-esque, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, my mind went right into that, and that actually creeped me out more than the demons, because I'm happy with the demons. Demons are my friends. I'm okay with that. But when it comes to, like, the real-life monsters, it gets you, you know, like those cold, long claws all up in your chest. So that's where my brain took me, because that would be who I am.
Demons is just misunderstood.
They're just hungry.
No, maybe they're looking for marshmallows, right? Guy, you did a wonderful job reading that. What'd you think, Sky? Before I mention the trash.
Yeah. I loved reading that. Yeah, and I read that cold. I was like, I didn't even get a look at it. But I have to tell you that the way that it was paced, and the way the dialogue came in, and the way that she said in a soft voice, like how she described what kind of voice she wanted, like the dialogue to be, I thought was brilliant, because people can interpret things how they want and read how they want, but when a writer is able to kind of reflect the emotions of the speaker, of the characters, by saying this is what kind of voice, this is what kind of mindset they're in. They're telling us how to say the dialogue, but they're also saying what kind of state they are in emotionally. So it was just so you know, it was so fluid to be able to jump into that story so fully and completely and enjoy it and enjoy it for what it was. And I have to really say that dialogue was really great. And, you know, she comes out with these things, and I always bring this one up every time I hear, every time I hear like a darker poem by her. She wrote me The Headless Horseman with the Tweety Bird, and I absolutely was like my favorite thing ever. She was like, I thought I saw a headless horseman, and every time I see that, I'm like, how could you bring Tweety Bird to a dark place like this? And it was so great. And I think this is going to be one of those ones that stick with me that I pair with that scary, spooky story, because, I mean, this is really, really brilliant. I really enjoyed it. And I agree with, well, there's a lot of words there. I agree with Pretty Bird about how she got, you know, she was like, no, I'm out of here. That was really cool. Like that. Yeah, really well done.
Yeah.
We have a caller.
No, we don't. Trick or treat.
We do, but I don't recognize the number.
It's my brother. It's little Gary's brother. I told him to call in so he could hear me.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
My mama
had
two kids.
Hello, little Gary's brother.
Hello.
Do you have a name?
Josh.
Well, okay.
Josh,
otherwise, I'll be calling you a little Gary's brother all night long.
He's just Josh. He's just Josh. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hey, you be good. I'll pick you up, man.
Or no, oh, okay.
It's
well,
yeah,
just to let you guys know.
You said you were going on the radio.
Go ahead. Sorry, there's overlap.
I wasn't sure.
He is on the radio. You can listen to it live on Blog Talk Radio.
Is that with
it's
or
out
without?
There for all the masses to hear.
Yes, and the recording will be left when we're done. So people will be able to download it and listen to it again.
Even better.
Am I the only one hearing everybody getting garbled up? Is it just my internet or is it everybody?
I don't have no internet, but I'm trying to get some.
I hear it too, Pretty Bird. I hear it too.
Okay.
It could be me. I'm inside the hotel. I can go outside if that'd be better.
No, right now everything is crystal clear. Like, but
go
for a minute there it wasn't.
Stand on the roof on
all
your
right,
left foot.
Oh my goodness, that's so funny. And face north.
Hold your arms out wide.
Okay, as far as monster poems go, Rack, we have mine and we have Deb's, and Deb asked Sky to read. And so just let me know what you want to do.
I want to get Gary to comment on Angel's poem first.
Yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. I thought it was awesome. What a great story and spooky, like, as it went on, man, I was wanting to turn back, but I couldn't. It's like watching a scary movie, and you can't find the remote to stop it. And it just kept going and going. But just the way that it just took me on this journey and a spooky journey, and I was just afraid what was going to happen. Awesome Halloween one, perfect, but excellently written, man. Just great. You felt the flow and everything going on, and I felt like I was there, and it scared the mess out of me. I thought it was great.
Clean up an aisle too. All right then.
Okay, so I was thinking. Go ahead, your show. I'm just throwing thoughts out there.
Right, but you know, we got to follow the bird brain.
Okay, well that would be me. I was thinking since Sky just read that I would go and then she could read Deb and then we'll put little Gary up because he brought us an epic piece, I'm sure, because he's always fabulous.
Well, thank you. I will pay y'all
later. You're welcome.
When I get it.
When I get it, you get it. No worries.
OMG. So you're all right with that?
I'm good with that.
All right. Okay, so I am on the board. It's a monotetra, you know. I know you like those, my sky. Me, not so much, but it is what it is. This is Adrenaline Sweet, and it goes like this. The shining moon does make me smile and ponder things that do beguile, like magic steeped within denial. That's not my style. That's not my style. The light is made for choosing prey. I rein them in by light of day. Imagine, quite to their dismay, the night betrays. The night betrays. For that is when they cannot hide from what they see they lay beside. They can't escape, though all have tried. It's justified. It's justified. The fear will make the bravest run, which makes me laugh and ups the fun. But when the feeding has begun, their life's undone. Their life's undone. That, my friends, is the reason why the quiet one, so meek and shy, should never leave your watchful eye. Do not deny, do not deny, that shy belies the lycanthrope. As truth pushes the envelope, once you're chosen, there is no hope. Locked in the grope, locked in the grope. Transfixed on beauty, drift in need, the prey is chosen for its greed. The scent, when fear is finally freed, that's when I feed. That's when I feed. And poem.
Wow.
Okay. I like that.
So,
that was deep. That was deep.
Oh, my goodness.
That's
for me. You know, I deep poetic envy when you do the monotetras and the other forms that I never really play with. And you use it so well to advance the story. The repetition just works wonderfully for the spookiness of this piece. I mean. As much as I enjoy being a smartass and stuff, it's like there's really nothing to even poke fun at something like this, other than to say fetch. You know, I like it. You know, that's when you feed. It's hypnotic. It really is, and it's got a kind of a witchy undertone to it too, which just adds to it. Even though, you know, the witch isn't really what it's about. It's about the lycanthrope. And I still want to say fetch, but you know that's just my yeah. I know. I'm sorry. Yeah, this is my warped mind. Throw me a bone. Oh wait, now you'd be saying fetch with you. Yeah. Hatter, what'd you think of this monotetra?
Hatter dropped. We have Sky and Gary and Josh.
Well,
we're
Josh
pulling you in,
know
Josh, because you're here, so we're talking to you.
And
I was
like a law firm.
He doesn't know the lay of the land yet, but we'll baptize him in a minute. But pretty much, it's just free for all on what you heard. Just make a comment on you know, how it made you feel, what it made you think.
Me? Are you asking
yes,
me?
Yes, please.
Oh, I felt it was very deep, right? It's very dark, and, you know, if you've done anything dark in your life, then for me, it set very well, right? The feed at dark. It all led up right there to the end. When it's dark, you know, the night, yeah. So, for me, it hit right at home. It hit right at home all the way through.
You did amazingly
awesome.
Well.
Thank you.
You did amazingly well for your first time. Awesome. Gary, What'd you think of Pretty Bird's poem?
Oh, man, I'm telling you, as someone that's never done anything dark except, like, trip on stuff when the light's out, I'm going to have to say it was awesome. It was Halloween all the way, and it reminded me of whoever wrote the Something Wicked That Way Come, and I don't know why that hit me there, but it felt like I was in that era, that movie, that the creepiness of it. You know what I'm saying? I went and turned my kitchen light on.
That's awesome.
Just in case.
Right.
I thought it was right, great. Right, absolutely. As always, too, you know. I'm glad you don't charge to let us listen. That, you know, that's what I hope every time I hear a good one. I'm like, gosh, I hope they don't start charging because I ain't going to be able to hear them anymore.
Well, she's on SoundCloud.
Well, I'm on Cloud.
OMG. Might be official for a while, man.
Go ahead, Sky. Feel free to comment.
Yeah, Something Wicked Way just comes, or whatever, because I'm is Ray Bradbury. I was just saying. It's great. Pretty Bird,
right,
this is amazing. I had Remnant, and I seen my comment when I wrote to you. I just, like, cut and pasted the poem and said, great job. I don't know. Let me gather myself. I don't know if you've ever read, and I'm not saying, you know, this is the same idea, but the if you've ever read Anne Rice, the character Lestat, you know, you see him in the movies, and you're like, no, that's not him, because he only stalks and kills. Yeah, he only stalks and kills evil people, right? In the books and in the films, he's a loose cannon, but in the books, he's very specific, and he does, if he thinks anybody has a moral, if he passes the moral judgment, if someone's cheating on him, not him, but someone else, he'll kill him. Like, he'll only kill those people that he think are cheating at, if you're gambling, or, you know, like, it's very different. But when I go through this poem, first of all, I'm sorry, I'm skipping around, but the form, I really do love this form, and I know that you mentioned it right at the beginning, and I do. I just love form. I think it's, I don't know, it's so rhythmic, and you just nailed it. I loved the lines that you chose to do, the double four syllables down in the fourth line of the quatern, and I really, really loved it. And then the whole idea of the light is made for choosing prey, and that, and because I'm so deep into different characters, you know, it makes me think of the Daredevil. You know, he's the attorney by day and the avenger by night. So when you speak of going, the light is made for choosing prey, I'm picturing a whole other character, the character that you're creating, with that same kind of concept, going through the world and seeing everybody with their day faces, the faces that they put on and the smiles that they put on for the light. But then, you know, imagine quite to their dismay, you know, like they think they're safe. The night betrays, and all of a sudden they're going to be punished for, you know, a different self that they might be hiding or might be. And then I might be reading it wrong, and if I am, tell me. So, but after I made my comment, you can tell me if I'm way off. But and that's how I've seen it. And then when you go down to, you know, but the feeding has begun, and then that, my friends, is the reason why the quiet one, so meek and shy, should never leave your watchful eye. It's kind of like you all, and everyone kind of skips over the quiet ones, and they're always the ones watching everything that's happening and assessing and seeing things that maybe other people aren't. So, I just thought it was, what are you laughing at?
My dog.
Oh, okay. I love that dog. Anyway, but I really loved it. And then when you get down to the feeding part, I'm like, oh, this, you know, I just loved it. It was like a character write, but also a moment, just like a moment of avenging. But I don't know, did I get that right, or was it completely different? That's how I think.
Okay. So my theory, as I'm sure you know, because I say it 4,000 times, I'm like a broken record. My theory on anything creative is if you see it, it is there. It doesn't matter if I put it there on purpose or if I did not. If it touches people in this way or that way, 16 different people can read something 16 different ways. If you see it, it's there. So I love your take on that. As you know, I'm not a fan of Monotetras. They're not challenging for me, and I'm not saying that to be an asshole. I'm just saying that it's very – the lines are so short that it doesn't really, you know, allow the freedom of big, giant, fancy words. You only have 8 syllables per line, and they have to rhyme. And, you know, you work within these parameters the best you can. I love that you see all kinds of fanciful things in there. I don't think I was that fanciful when I wrote it. I don't remember. but I love that you see it. So that,
well,
that
that's what it is
awful.
Now.
Yes, there you go.
I feel the same way. I do the same thing, too, when people say things. I'm like, you know what? You give it to the reader, and it's theirs now, too. So I feel the same way, but I want to make sure, like, even if I perceive it that way, I always like to say, to give someone the opportunity to say, you can totally tell me I'm wrong. I mean, that's what I see regardless. And then maybe I can look at it a different way and say, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that makes sense, too. So thank you. I loved it. Thank you. I loved it the first time, even though I didn't really write a real comment.
Love it. Thank you. You know, it's funny because, and I apologize for my dog who found her chicken, and that chicken's obnoxious as all get out, and I'm like buried in computer parts, so I can't chase her down and take that stinking chicken. So I will try to mute myself as best as possible. So because it's Halloween and I'm a long-winded wench, I am going to tell y'all, and Rack knows, and you might know too because I say it all the time, because at 8 years old, when I was 8 years old, I have been broken from a very young age. My mind, first, I was not allowed to watch Dracula, like, you know, so I was out, like, in my little dining room, in my kitchen. There was a pass-through area to the family room where I can just see the TV, but my parents couldn't see me. So I crawled on the floor, like, snake crawled on my belly where they could not see me, and I went and I watched Dracula, stood there the whole time watching Dracula. And my takeaway from that was not, oh, he's a blood-sucking demon. It was not the death. It was not the this. It was not the that. It was that he is Prince Charming. He is handsome. He is a gentleman. He is, you know, classy, debonair, all of these wonder, charming, obviously, all of these things. And the only other person at 8 years old that I ever heard described that way was Prince Charming. And to this day, it's why I do not trust charmers at all, because they're all full of crap and they're all going to, you know, bleed you dry. So that is my philosophy on monsters versus life. You may continue your own show, Rack. I will shut up. I am so sorry.
You are my right hand, and you make me look good, which is the next to impossible job. So if you want to chirp on, I have nothing. I will thoroughly back you up, and that was fantastic.
Well, you know, because it's Halloween and I love the spooky season. I'm all about Hell Week and all the deadly sins and yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. Okay, but today's about the monsters. And the usual one is, the usual question is, are you, you know, vampires or werewolves? I'm like, well, first of all, I'm vampires all the way because, you know, they're classy and fabulous. They live forever. And, you know, whatever. But then they don't have to go through any body morphing and pain and nonsense. I do not do pain in my monsters. But then there's, you know, there's Frankenstein, and there's the, what is that thing that, okay, Skye, what is that Canadian monster thing?
Wendigo?
W that I can't remember? Thank you. I knew you would know. And there's all of these creatures, you know, all of them. And, you know, there's Jabberwockies, and this, and that, and I am so generic that I'm always vampire. I'm like, nope, vampires win. Nope, vampires. Always with the vampires. And so I am curious, not that it's my show and I'm not running things, what y'all's favorite monster or monsters are, because, like I said, I am far and away vampires to the point where, have you seen a few years back, it was Dracula, The Untold Story, or whatever it was, with the guy who played in what is his name? The guy who played in the live action Beauty and the Beast. The one who played Gaston. Luke somebody. I can't remember his name. Anyway, so he was Dracula, and this is the best Dracula story I ever heard in my entire life. I have watched that thing like 15 times. It is all Vlad the Impaler, and then he finally gets his land back. He had to he stopped serving the Sultan of whatever, got his land back, was building his village, all of this stuff, and then people started dying, and there was this myth of a creature, and in order to save the future generations of his town from the fate that he suffered under the hands of whatever Sultan, he sold his soul, basically, and not even knowing what that was. And then they gave him 3 days. If you don't kill anybody in 3 days, you can still be alive. But then the other people killed his wife, and all bets were off. And it was the best, like, vampire birth of any story I've heard. It was fully complete. It was all the gory details of history, and I absolutely loved that he turned Bloodsucker out of love and kindness for others, because I like a vampire with heart.
It's funny that you mentioned, you know, Bloodsucker, because there's been so many variations on the theme, the name, so many unfortunate takes on Dracula. I think I'm Gonna Get You Sucker comes to mind, but there's ethnic ones and all kinds of other, you know. Anyways, you know, this to me also falls under the heading of, like we were talking about from the beginning, of you know, the science just defining the story a little bit, you know. Writers like, what's his name, Michael Connelly and what's his name that did Jurassic Park, you know, they start off with the science, and they go off on their own and take it to where they're headed, and it ends up in a wonderfully beautiful place. I think, you know, as listeners, readers, we just need an excuse to believe, and we're happy, and it could be the weakest of excuses. I have to mention this, totally off topic, but not, because you mentioned your monsters transitioning. If you want to see a monster transition, go look up on Netflix. I believe it's called Wolfstop, and that's all I'm going to say. There's a whole controversy about this Wolf Cop. It's about a werewolf that's a cop, and that's all I'm going to say. There's a whole controversy about this thing, and the trend that a comedian picked up on the transition and talked about it, and became somewhat famous over his description of what happened, and this is kind of notorious. So if you want to see something, not family friendly, but yeah, if you want to see a monster transition, look for Wolf Cop. That's all I'm going to say. Oh my God!
Now I'm just afraid. When you're like, that's all I'm going to say, I'm like, oh no, and now I'm going to have to watch it.
Oh my goodness. The guy that mentioned it almost got a write on part. Well, he did get the write on part, and then they wrote him out. So he's all, don't watch Wolf Cop 2, watch Wolf Cop. You know, because he was supposed to be on the second one, because he mentioned it, and he got, you know, he talked about it so much that people started watching it, and he's like, you know, I'm gonna put him in, and then the producer was like, nope, and cut him out. He's all against Wolf Cop 2, but watch Wolf Cop. So I thought that was funny.
Go ahead.
I was going to extend the question of people's favorite monsters. Do you have a favorite monster, Sky?
As much as I love werewolves, I'm going to have, as a lifetime Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan, I'm going to have to go with vampires. And especially because I used to play, so they came out with this, it's like Dungeons and Dragons, but it was a vampire game, but an RPG.
Why do I not know
built
this?
Just like,
Oh, yeah, it was good. So for the longest time, we wouldn't play because my friends and I, well, my best friend, she always DMs. And then there's a group of us that always played since we were teenagers. And when we were, like, I don't know, around 18, 19, you know, we wanted to do this, but she was like, listen, I know, and she looked at me, and she's like, I know we're both big Anne Rice fans, but I don't want any Anne Rice, you know, I don't want any knockoffs. So we didn't play it for, she put it off for a while, and then she said, listen, if we're going to play this game, I want everybody to have all these questions answered, and you need to at least have an 8-page backstory that's original for you. Like, serious. Like, tight. serious stuff. Because she was like, I don't want no, and she knew that I would be like, play a character like Louis, because it's just my personality. I would definitely be like, I don't want to just kill the little mouses, and I would follow a person like with that, because that's just how I am. She's like, I don't even want to see your character be anything like Louis. I said, okay. I said, all right. So we had to really do serious work for our character backgrounds before we even entered the game. She was just so particular. She didn't want to see you. It was really cool. It was a really fun game. And so anyway, I'm going to have to go with vampires.
So if you want to try DM, you need to write a thesis, apparently.
Oh my God! For that one, we did, because she was so serious. She was like, she was so serious. She didn't want any cliche vampires running around.
That's awesome.
See, I like the girl who knows what she wants. That's awesome.
Hey Gary, you still with us, or did we bore you to death?
No, you didn't. You didn't. Absolutely. I'm all on it. Yeah, I've got a good one for you since my brother's on there. I'm going to have to say It, the Clown. When we were young and it came out on regular TV, we had to beg our mom to let us stay up and watch it, because it came on for like a couple of nights, and getting her to do anything our way was begging, I promise you. And so I'm going to have to go with It, man, because we watched it and it scared the crap out of us until it got to the end and that stupid spider. But it was, I'm going to just go with It, because that's a good, scary memory. And if you've ever tried to talk my mom into something, trust me, it was tough.
Hey, Gary, I got to tell you a secret. If you're ever attacked by killer clowns, go for the jugular.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I'm gonna run. If a monster comes after me, I don't fight. I run. And
you
women,
can't run
I
from
run
anyone.
From death. Oh, I won't run. I won't even try to run and run. I'm telling you, we.
You'll
I'll
be out of there. You'll
and,
leave a.
That's
thing of smoke.
You can't run from that. When you try and run from those, that's when you turn around and he's in front of you again.
Yeah, I'll find a tree and run around. I'm gonna really mess him up. I'm gonna go left, right, round. Oh, I got a combination that can keep any bully away.
He's got a plan.
Oh man, I find something to run around. You're screwed. I will run around it, buddy.
That is awesome.
I tell you. I was trained by my mama whooping me, going in circles, man. Yeah, I was just practicing for fear and run in circles.
So, Josh, does It run in the family? You have a favorite monster?
Well, mine would have to be Frankenstein.
Okay.
Why Frankenstein? Because, you know.
Because you're afraid of scientists.
Well,
Frankenstein's
monster.
Not the monster.
They wanted him to be something that he wasn't, right? So, you know, and then when he wasn't what they wanted, he was ridiculed and beat and cried, and he was punished in every which way. So mine would be Frankenstein. Because,
okay.
You know, I stand out that way. And so for me, it would be
I have a soft spot for him, too. Because it's not his fault. He didn't ask to be a puzzle man.
He didn't ask for
none
of that.
He didn't ask to be shocked tonight. Yeah, and then to be persecuted.
Exactly. No. So minus Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Frankenstein was a good guy, and what they wanted him to do was be the bad guy nonstop all the way through. But Frankenstein feel like he could think for himself and realize he didn't have to do those things. But when he did the things that they wanted him to do, you know,
it's pretty
he was set for it.
Check real quick. I have a poem called Frankenstein. I don't think there's an audio for it, though.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay. I will look for that. And coincidentally, Deb's poem's on Frankenstein, too. And so I will look for yours. As Sky, you can go ahead and read Deb.
Okay. Well, I need your attention for 1 minute, pretty bird, because I've been waiting. I just need you to backtrack just a little bit for 1 second. And I want to tell you, since you're writing down movies to watch, the guy that played in that Dracula movie, he also played in the movie that I told you to watch like 8 years ago called Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman.
Finger something? Oh, he was
no,
the guy in that movie. I did not know that.
Yes,
the Wonder Woman
movie,
the sexually charged
Professor Marston
movie that, yeah.
That I was trying to tell you to watch.
Yeah, let me tell you what, that man sings like nobody's business, and there's the most boring song in the face of the planet, the first time ever I saw your face, and the lovely lyrics, boring-ass song, and he sang it, and no shit, I cried. It's like, it is stunning, and I don't know what it is about his voice that makes that boring freaking, but it is just gorgeous. Okay,
all
you're
right.
Just going to have to
don't
text
forget
that
to write
name,
it.
Message that to me.
All right. Okay. All right. So this is The Doctor is the Monster by Deborah Lee. Dr. Gravedigger robs dead parts, sewing pieces like a patchwork quilt. Now stitches, electrodes, and staples bind the man that this monster built, lying strapped on the wood gurney with wires tied the two neck bolts, linked to lines trailed out the window to charge his body with electric jolts. Metal secures the scalp to his skull and scars line his forehead and face. Puzzle piece organs fill up his torso, thread holds cadaver skins in place. The man's just newborn to the world. He tips like the little teapot as he walks, like a toddler walks to mom and dad. Then with broken sentences, he talks. This doctor abandoned him on sight, first inside himself, then in the forest. In the cold of darkness without food, shoes, a coat, or place for him to rest. From a slaughterhouse to the woods, pain drives ache to the deadly crest. End poem. And then I'm just gonna read just her last two afterthought lines. That's not part of the poem, but her afterthought. But in my eyes, the doctor is the monster, and his creation never stood a chance. End poem. I mean, end comments. Afterthought.
Yeah, no, that's a decent point. And that's, you know, just what Pretty Bird was saying before we even read the poem, you know, the idea of, you know, he didn't ask for it, you know. And then how many of us had our kids that have kids had I didn't ask to be born. Oh my goodness. The idea of the monster, though, I've always enjoyed the thought and the analysis of that, the original Mary Shelley's Frankenstein and the telling of the tale and everything else and collecting the body parts and putting the electrodes on his neck and the idea of the bolt. I mean, there's so many stereotypes that have been stolen from that story, the villagers with the torches and the grunting and the you know, he can't talk and the way that he walks and everything else. I mean, it really is an easy way to paint that picture and make him very sympathetic. You know, it's depending on your perspective and you know, you try and apply common sense to some of these things and it just doesn't work. And you know, this is definitely one of those cases. But, you know, again, the biggest misunderstanding, I think, you know, that people, you know, usually don't remember that needs to be pointed out is that, you know, Frankenstein was the doctor, not the monster. He's Frankenstein's monster. So, you know, there's that thought, too, that wraps itself up in this piece. But, you know, Deb has her lovely descriptions, and you know, I could practically feel that lightning bolt bringing him to life, and, you know, the fact that he's running around and he can't do the movie, the original, the brain was even labeled imperfect or something, or demented or something. So, you know, he started off with a bad break. So, you know, there's that too. Anyways, it was a lovely piece and one that you could get very philosophical on. If there's an audio to mine, or if somebody will, you'll see my version of it. It takes the more philosophical idea of a Frankenstein. What'd you think, Gary?
Sorry. I was trying to hit my mute. I was pulling my phone down, and I guess my hands are sweating or something. But I thought it was a very, very poetic, creative way of telling the story of that. Like, it took you into that story, but, like, it, I don't know. How can I explain? It was very detail-y, poetically, I guess you'd say. But, yeah, I absolutely loved it. I'm a fan of Frankenstein. Probably more than my little brother, you know, because I'm older. But I really enjoyed the poetic way that it was done. You know what I'm saying? It was very enjoyable. And the way it was read and the flow and just amazing writing. You know, it was there in my head as it went, and I loved it. Absolutely. Hands down.
Josh, did you want to say something?
Yeah, so, you know, the whole Frankenstein thing, I didn't look at Frankenstein as the one who created it, but as Frankenstein was the one who was created, right? So, as not the creator, but the one was created.
Well, the way the story was written, it was, you know, Dr. Frankenstein that created the monster. But, you know, the term has come to be in the English language. When you Frankenstein something, it's like MacGyvering. You know, you're putting it together. So
it's what you created.
The meanings become a little twisted. But the story traditionally is of, you know, it's Frankenstein's monster. So, you know.
The monster
was
Frankenstein. That's the monster.
So, no, Frankenstein was the dude, man. He was Frankenstein's monster, man.
Okay, so that kind of trumps everything I said previously. I thought Frankenstein
No, we understood was, you. You're good.
Oh, so, you
we
know.
We absolutely understood you.
I felt like Frankenstein was the monster throughout the whole thing. And
right.
When you look at Frankenstein as the monster, from my point of view, like, it hit every step of the way. It was like, Frankenstein, if Frankenstein is a monster, then what he's doing, right? And if things he was doing and why he was doing those, from my point of view, then he didn't want to be a monster. He never was. He wanted to be some sort of savior on, you know, some, you know, platform. But because he couldn't be that hero on that platform because the creator, as you guys say, was Frankenstein, was the creator. So if he wasn't good to be a monster, he couldn't be a hero, then he couldn't be a hero, so he had to be the monster. So, perfect. Just right at home. So,
he had it.
It was well written and just executed perfectly. very my poop drink.
There is a lot of static on the line right now.
Yeah, that was a little choppy. Did we lose Hatter again?
Hatter didn't come back on.
Oh. So it's on you, Pretty Bird.
You had mentioned Mary Shelley's Dracula. Oh, not Dracula. Oh, my goodness. That faux pas. I cannot believe that came out of my face. It's just Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. And, okay, the three books that I love as far as monsters are Dr. Jekyll and in order are Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Frankenstein and Dracula. And because none of those stories are like the stories you read now. None of them lead you down a path. None of them hold your hand and tell you what's happening. All the fear, all of the anticipation, all of the silent tachycardia that it gives you, you put there yourself. I mean, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is like 136 pages of a tiny little itty-bitty book that really says nothing about anything, but it's all in your head. And when you're talking about the original book of Frankenstein, where galvanization was a thing back then, where they didn't know nothing, they would shock people and see what the hell happened. And, you know, and now we have pacemakers, so there's that. I apologize for that stinking chicken. And because I'm sure you all can hear it. It's god-awful. I don't know why I got that dog, that toy. And the fact that she wrote this based on that the science of the day is astounding to me. And in that, it is a little bit close to my heart because I love that we still do that today. We take this little tiny thing, all of a sudden there's Skynet. We take this little tiny thing, there's all of a sudden there's the Matrix. We take this little tiny thing, and there's all kinds of stuff. And so they took something as simple as the violent shocking of people when they barely know what the hell electricity does, and this is what she created with it. Like, this would be like the worst case scenario. And I love that she kind of gave the monster heart. I just find it completely brilliant, and that all of the action in the book we put there, all of that fear and trepidation, all of that we put there ourselves. It is not written in. And so I absolutely love that. And so when Deb's sitting here writing on this, I think we all feel for this poor monster because... She's right. She has to, when she starts this off on Dr. Gravedigger, you know, robs the dead for parts, and this is true. There was a short-lived series called Frankenstein. I saw it on Netflix. Fabulous. Apparently the doctor, you know, likes to hit the laudanum, but whatever. And and it was just like they he would get the rejects from the oh my goodness, who are the people that deal with the dead people that I can't think of who they are right now?
Morticians.
Like back in the day. Well, they weren't morticians. Then. They were like back in like the Wild West. It was the people that make the coffins.
Not
I can't think of the name.
Yeah, I'm going forensic. No, that's not it. There was no forensic back then.
No, we're talking hundreds of years ago before science happened. But, so you know, they would be like, well, we got a fresh one. No, nobody shot him in the head. Well, all right, I'll take it. Let's go. It's for money. It was all money. Here's the money. Give me the body. Here's the money. Give me the body. Go bury somebody else. Just give me the body. The body buries the floater. I don't want that one. You know?
Undertaker.
Yes, thank you, Undertaker. Yes. And because that would have driven me nuts. And it was if y'all get a chance to watch that series, it's really it's really wonderfully done as far as the development of Frankenstein. Like he has to get retaught how to exist, and I just found that aspect of it really just kind of lovely. You know, it really is. So I absolutely. Feel for him and her depiction of the God damn it, dog. Yeah, Raph, feel free to run your show for 2 minutes because she's stealing wool. I will be right back in just a few.
Sky, you didn't get a chance to comment on Frankenstein.
No, and this really has to be my last one because I wasn't even planning to stay this late and I got to get up in 6 hours. But I do want to say, to just kind of go off of what Pussy Bird was saying as well, as someone who's a huge fan of Mary Shelley's book, the thing that, I mean, there was the one with Helena Carter. Yeah, and I thought that one was brilliant. And as much as that one was brilliant, the thing about the book is that you're hearing the dialogue and thoughts from his perspective in such a beautiful and intimate way that by the end, you're just... that dog is out of control.
She's shacking up with the gremlin.
Did Wayne call back?
You know, I don't think, I mean, you can, you know, you could feel free to jump in too, Pretty Bird, but the way that when he was in the other room looking at the family in the book was my favorite part, when he was learning languages, and they go through all the inner dialogue, and though you can see that in the movie, in the book, he actually puts words to it. And she does, but in his perspective, and I just really, really loved it. And I think Deb's poem really focuses on that vulnerability that Josh was, I think it was Josh, was talking about from the beginning, that vulnerability and innocence and that need to feel accepted and loved and yet ultimately always rejected. And I think Deb's home really brings that forth, and especially the afterthought. So have a good night, guys. I got to sign off. Great show.
Well, you have a good night. You want to plug your show for tomorrow real quick?
Star Wars, Book of Boba Fett, come write me a poem. And it doesn't even need to be about Star Wars. You could just take one of the quotes and write to one of the quotes. I'll bring the Star Wars. You just bring a poem. As long as it goes with one of the quotes. It's got to at least be that close. All right. Bye. 8 p.m.
Bye.
I'm an early bird. Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. Since it's Frankenstein, I have Rack on for Frankenstein, and then we will finish with Little Gary's Fabulousness, because you're always fabulous. I love your spoken word. So I will read for you. It is on the board. And it is Frankenstein, and it goes like this. Cherry-picking salvaged pieces and bits, then cobbling them all together in the ensuing storm, a spark of life hits, predicating an insane endeavor. The resulting patchwork of stitches and scars takes on a life of its own. Under governance of moonlight and stars, we plummet, heading into the unknown. Is there a monster silhouetted in daylight, or is what matters totally misunderstood? Is our perception tinged by fright, obscuring the difference between malevolence and good? Who are we to challenge what we find, looking into a mad scientist's mind? End poem. So, Gary, what are your thoughts?
Yes, ma'am. I absolutely loved it. I do enjoy the Frankenstein, but it's very informative the way she told it, wrote it. It like it flowed really good and very imaginative words. Like I felt like that one was the most Frankenstein I've heard tonight to be the most imaginative. You know what I mean? Like very creative use and smart words that I call them. I absolutely loved it. It was on point, Halloween, and it was great. Absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you. And Josh, your thoughts?
Yeah. So, you know, Frankenstein resonates with me only because I feel like Frankenstein, the name, was not the creator. He was the person that was created. Now, if there's a different name, that's fine. If Frankenstein...
There is not. He never had a name, which is why they call him Frankenstein.
Right. Okay. He was the guy that was created. Somebody else wanted something, and this is what they called him. Now, when that happens, you know.
It happens when you judge George Foreman.
This guy is, he's doing everything that someone else wants him to do. That's what he wants. He wants somebody else to do all the dirty work. And when you get that, you get a guy called Frankenstein. Now, if that's what you were called, what you were always saying, that's fine. That's fine. You were that guy. Are y'all cutting wood?
That's my dog.
Are we building a house?
That's my unfortunate dog.
Gary's funny. I was trying to be funny. I figured it was a dog. I was just trying to be funny. Nonetheless, Frankenstein for me strikes home, and it strikes all the way down to my core just because he was somebody else that he didn't want to be. He wanted to be a good guy, and the person that he was created from wanted to be a bad guy. So when it comes to the writing, Frankenstein didn't want to be a bad guy all the way from his core. He didn't want to be a bad guy, but that's what he was told to do, so that's what he did. And for me, I loved it. I am your flat-footed, full salute, Frankenstein. So, I love it. I love Frankenstein.
Yeah,
it is very black and white, but you want me to cut off the knee? We'll take the knee. There's no more walking after this. You can't unpull the trigger.
Oh, my goodness.
One. Right?
That's good.
So, for me, I love
such a country accent. I love it.
My apologies. I'll eat more drinks.
You guys are awesome. So I'm just going to comment real quick, and then I already put you on the board, Gary. So on this poem, Mr. Racontor, it's those last two lines that this is almost like a sonnet with a volta, that, you know, all the poetic terms, I apologize. It is very much those four rhyming stanzas. And then that last two lines.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question before you get started? Real quick.
Uh-huh.
So, are you looking at a computer screen that can see the full poem?
Yes.
Okay. So, you can see everything that's being read to you.
I'll explain it all to you, Josh. I'll explain it to him, and I'll catch him up on it. This is his first time. I'll tell him everything.
I'm so sorry. I don't mean to be that red or green. I do apologize.
No, you're fine. No. I mean, he kind of threw you in here without any warning, so feel free to ask the question.
He said call this number. I just called it. I didn't realize.
Well, I'm going to see him tomorrow, so he was trying to get a hold of me. I told him I was on the radio to call the number. He could hear me.
Like, I'm only in Alaska. I'm sorry.
Where in Alaska are you?
Kenai.
Oh, yeah, Kenai, okay. I never heard of that. I thought it might be somewhere.
It is south of Anchorage. It's a big peninsula. It's got water all the way around it. You might get your feet wet, but that's
the
only
place
we'll put you in the water.
Yeah?
Ma'am?
Is that around where they get all the good razor clams?
They get some clams, but we more of a salmon kind of fisherman there. Like, you want to get your feet wet, we'll get your feet wet. You want to fill your name? you just tell us what you want.
Yeah, me and Snow are not
sure
friends.
You get it.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so just two things for you, Josh. This is an actual online radio thing, so you can listen. There's always going to be a link that you could just listen to the entire show and do whatever. Well, of course, we prefer the calling and the commenting and the conversation because that's the best part. But just so that you know, and they are recorded, and you can listen. Like, you can listen to this whole show about 10 minutes after it's over and whenever the heck you want to because it's there for the whole world to see. So there is that. And and now, for what we've all been waiting for.
Yes, ma'am.
Wait. Let me just elaborate just a little further. The idea of the podcast that Gary's trying to lead you up to is this was born from the idea that we all are part of a group on a website called All Poetry, and this is where we post the words that you hear. So we have links to the things that we've written, and we post the link, and everyone kind of follows along on the link so that they can read what it is that we're reading. So but you know, in my case, I'm actually blind, so I'm not able to follow along. So I'm with you in the sense that, you know, I'm getting the words thrown at me, and I'm not able to read them and follow along. But you know, it still works.
So that's
where it comes from. Is we're reading some poems that we've shared previously on All Poetry, and you know, people are able to come by and look them up. With the links that we're putting up as we go along, there's a chat room that everyone follows knows to look for these links, and we post them as we go along. And sometimes people don't actually call, and they'll listen and they'll follow along on the board, and they'll write comments there and say, you know, like there's a couple of people that will submit a poem and say, you know, read this poem for me. I need a reader, and they'll be listening on the air like you are on the phone.
Oh,
so it's
okay.
It's kind of a two-part thing. So Gary wrote his poem, posted it up for everyone to walk that can find link can read it, and now we're highlighting it and presenting it on the air on the podcast.
I feel like this is the most famous I've been since I was in Japan. like, oh.
You're almost as famous as me.
That's right. That's a book face, right? Hello.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We're explicit. Fair enough. Yes, sir. I got you.
So Gary, if you want to read the poem that you're offering for this evening.
Yes, sir, I absolutely do, and I'm glad your show's on monsters because shit you not, this was made me write. This was a monster, a real live monster, I swear. Okay, here it goes. This is called "I Write Poems in the Rain" by Little Gary. Trying to shine bright ain't easy when tears keep putting out the flame. Looking like I'm happy is getting real hard, but every day I'm able to maintain. Writing about my life is even harder, trying not to complain. And I'm too broke to buy cheap beer, so you'll know I never have a taste of champagne. I write down my feelings, hoping it will help, so I don't go completely insane. I know life is hard for everyone, but come on, life, dang. I want true love more than a crackhead wants some cocaine. Or a movie star wants big lights, fortune, and fame. But so far, I've been loved as much as a wild animal loves to be tamed. So if you're painting a Birmingham, make sure I'm not in the frame. They say you only live once, and damn, that's a really big shame. And so I need to know why it is that every relationship ends, and it's always the same old damn thing. Because once again, little Gary's to blame. Why do you think my family put little on the front of my name? So I got to keep going forward, hoping someday something will change. Like my friend Glenn says, never stop playing the game. So now I walk around with my head down, trying not to feel stupid and lame. Because I really hated to see her go, y'all, after I was so glad that she came. All aboard, shout out to Ozzy, because I'm riding on a crazy-ass train, hoping I'm going somewhere that's up and not straight down the drain. So if anybody asks, tell them that my blurry poems are not from crying, or so I proclaim. Say it's because little Gary writes poems in the rain. End poem.
You took the monster definition to that other place. Yeah, when people talk about emotional poems like that and write about their life like that, it's something that I'd say 85% of what I write, that's the notes that I hit. That's what I relate to. That's where I live. That's what I understand. And the other thing about writing poems in the rain, Gary, is the way the words tend to run off the page. You know, whether it's from the rain or the tears or just the experience itself, it's tough to live through. It's tough to relate, and the metaphors are all there to put out for everybody to read and experience not everybody laughs at you. You know, I think a lot of people understand. And, it's unfortunate in a lot of ways, and, you know, but it's relatable. So, nobody's going to dress up as your ex-wife for Halloween, I don't think, so. Or your ex-girlfriend.
I had bought a costume of Axl Rose I'm supposed to be wearing tonight because she had a crush on him, and I had this whole big rock star night going to happen, but I'm not. I got it put up. I'll do it next year. So if anybody likes Axl Rose, you know, and just call me up. I've already got my costume. 2024.
All right, Gary. I'm pretty bird. Did you want to comment?
Of course. When it comes to people in, and I'm going to just use the real world as opposed to online, just as a differentiation of, you know, people in your everyday life. When it comes to those that you know well enough to be vulnerable with, and they're heartless enough to turn around and just be like, well, no, I'm done, without so much as anything or without wanting to listen, it is a heartbreaking thing, and it's hard to get over. Now, in every relationship, there is, you know, this side, that side, this perspective, that perspective, but healing is something that we do alone. And it is very much how we feel, what we've gone through, however long it takes us to be able to see all the perspectives, it is our pain to go through alone. And while I hate the phrase, I'm going to say it kind of is what it is. That's how you heal. It takes however long it takes, depending on how deep that wound is. And I think that you depicted that very well, that not only is there that sadness and that heartbreak, but there is that, well, you know, of course it's my fault. You know, it's always my fault, gosh darn it, because it feels that way. And I'm not saying that it's not that way, but I know that you know, it always kind of feels that way when you can't see. Well, it just always feels that way. People leave and you're like, well, I must have done something. Sometimes they do the things, but, you know, it always feels like I must have done something. And so I really appreciate that. And you have that flow, and that is very engaging, that it kind of pulls you in and makes you listen. And the cadence with which you read or speak or whatever you want to call it, really kind of, you have that way of writing and reading that kind of, that it builds and builds and builds and gets a little bit faster as you go, which kind of wants to give you that sense of urgency, which is even then more enthralling and more captivating. So, you know, excellent work.
Awesome comment. Thank you. And thank your parents for making the child with such good ears, man. You're right on point. But yes, ma'am, I enjoy that when I'm reading them or writing them. Because they feel like they're coming to something, you know. It's so crazy that she hated my writing, the girl that I was talking about in that one, and a big reason of why she didn't want to be with me, believe it or not. But I appreciate what you said, and I you totally listened and heard it, because you hit it right on the nail. Yeah, sure enough. And, hey, I don't know if I told y'all, I told them another day, I finally got published by a publishing company in Colorado. And because I'm pretty excited. They love my simplicity, heartfelt simplicity. I told them it's because I have a GED. Thank God.
Well, congratulations. That's awesome.
I know it, right? They said hard copy. I shut up. I can't wait. I was going to surprise and tell my brother when I got off, but, man, I know y'all have known me for a while. I know kind of my little style and stuff, and they like it. I'm so excited. Pre-book deal I signed, and I make all the money off the first one. That's pretty cool.
That's really exciting.
I'm going to buy at least 2 copies. My last book I put, yeah, it's going to be everywhere. Last book I put on Amazon myself, I've sold 10 copies. I'm thinking about buying 11 of them, though. But, yeah, it's cool, man. I'm excited. I hope people like to hear my BS.
That's why we're here, Gary. Thank you.
Yeah, yes, sir. Man, thank you more than what you just thanked me.
All right. Well, I guess that's my cue to thank everybody that called in and wrote and hung out and listened and
Whoa. Boss man, don't forget about me. Don't forget about me, boss man. Come on now. I've been waiting all night, baby. All night.
Go ahead.
Are you sure? Are you ready?
Go ahead.
He's ready.
Yeah.
He said he's ready. I'm here and I'm ready. Okay, so, brother, first and foremost, I will be your, what's his name? He played the guitar. He was Slash. I'll be your Slash to your Bret Michaels every day of the week. Hands down, all the way. So, as far as the reading goes, whether I was back in high school waiting on my prom queen that I never had, I feel the same way. My first ex-wife after 18 years, same thing. Same thing. I felt it. I felt it deep in my gut, all the way to my boots. Now, only reason I have boots on is because, you know, my shoes stink right now. That's okay. I forgot my slippers. But I feel it in my boots.
Oh, my God.
Like, you can bullshit a bullshitter. But I'm telling you right now, brother, when you read that, I felt like I was back in 1998.
She looked at me,
and she chose to do 3-4 steps to my left.
Yep.
It was. I didn't marry her, right? I guess it wasn't that great. But nonetheless, I married her.
Yeah, you can see where I get my jabber from.
It's my fault. I do apologize. Nonetheless, he's right home, right in the core, right in my socks. They're a little wet right now because it rained here a couple days ago. But nonetheless,
I'm going to hit you, too, when I see you.
I figured you would. It was perfect. It hit me perfect. Like, I felt it. Felt it like I
Thank
was
you.
Then. I felt it like I was 5-10 years later. And then after my divorce, back in 2018, I felt it again. I felt it in every stage as I came up. And
it was always
the same road. It didn't matter which road it was on or who it was with. It was always the same road. It was always that same deafness. It was.
Okay. All right.
Perfect.
Cool.
It was perfect.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Great comment.
Were you dating sisters?
I'm just going to say I love the enthusiasm.
Now, he's the tall one. I'm the short one. But somebody's got to pack a big punch here.
I think that was a wonderful way to end the show. What do you think, Rack?
Yeah, we'll close it out. Say thank you to everybody that spent time to hang out and listen and participate in any way possible. The links are there. The The podcast will be available to download in a few minutes after we say goodnight and the little English lady tells you thank you for using Blog Talk Radio.
Can I tell you something real quick? Real quick? I know it's quick. This is my new favorite. I'm just saying. Let me show that.
I'll smack my
We're
son.
We're gonna blow up after this.
I'll look at your torch in the mail.
I can't say what I was gonna say next, but we're about to blow up. Get ready. Hold on to your socks,
awesome.
We're about to blow up.
I'll look the kid first in the mouth and tell you that there's a ton of other shows out there on the radio too. So you have fun with Blog Talk, with ours, and with you know, some of the other groups. And you know, you'll find what you like. If you don't like one, you know, just flip the channel. That there's a ton of people out there that to listen to on other channels and similar topics. And you know, if you could think of it, it's out there. There's people spouting butt wisdom and unfortunate truths and all kinds of craziness.
Did you say wisdom?
I said butt
yes,
wisdom.
Yes, he said butt wisdom.
Okay.
And, you know,
because I'm always talking out of my ass, so I have butt wisdom.
I'm trying to figure out exactly what that is. I ain't sure now. I'm going to have to Google
the things that fly
Google's
out of my face.
Have the answers. That's a big question. Now, Google, what is butt wisdom?
There you go. But we are after time. So
yes, ma'am.
We're going to say goodnight. And it was a joy having you, just so that you know. Hope to see you again.
Absolutely. I thank both of you. Y'all have a wonderful night, and thank you very much. And my brother
Glad
is calling me
you.
On my phone. Apparently, I
yes,
overslept.
Because he hung up already.
I do apologize. Y'all have a wonderful night.
You're awesome.
Thank you very much.
Good night,
Ryan.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Good night.